In a world, four friends, one mission.
Mikey, what are you doing?
I'm doing the thing for the podcast.
It's not that hard, bud.
Dude, just say the name.
Fine. It's the Freedom Friends Podcast.
Tequila. In a world, four friends, one minute. Oh. Sorry.
You already did that.
We already did that.
Sorry. What are you doing, Mikey?
Doing the thing for the podcast.
I'm doing the thing for the show, dude. It's not that difficult, bud.
Just say the name.
That was a good jazz. That was a really good jazz, Dave. That was all right. Just say the name. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Freedom Friends Podcast, brought to you by WarfighterTobacco.com. Use that code FTFO. Screw yourself that sweet, sweet 15% off. Go over to owellness.us for those CBD treats and needs.
I got to chime in on that.
Okay.
Owellness got their payment processing shut down.
Oops. Oh.
Yeah. And so they are in the process right now of, it should be up and running here shortly. But also the new cool factor, and they should be in the mail hitting our way now with some samples, is they got a new freeze gel.
Ooh. Oh. Keep talking.
The old freeze gel is 500 milligrams.
Okay.
New freeze gel is 2,000 milligrams.
Yes. Oh. My dick.
I am so happy. I
let's pump the brakes here, Scott. What kind of a fucking animal is putting mentholated freeze gel on their dick?
Hey, we don't kink shame around here.
I'm not kink shaming. I'm impressed, man. That's fucking gangster as shit.
Well, I haven't done the 2000 yet, but the 500 is nice.
Just a little tingle on the undercarriage.
That's what they call a chili willy.
But when that is up and running, you go over there, use that code FreedomFriends25. We'll get you a quarter off that order.
Yes.
Over at O Wellness and try their new freeze gel. I'm excited.
That's going to be up shortly. They also got, they have some other new products too that are coming out that are, along the same lines. They upped the concentrate that's in them based off customer feedback and everything. A huge shout out to the customer base that goes over there because they are running in some issues right now with payment processing. And the customers are very, very understanding, at least with the messages going back and forth. So I really appreciate it. I got told about that over the weekend. And I was like, oh, that's funny. That happens in our industry too. I'm like, here's the people we use. Yeah. But they're working through, the growing pains. And the shitty part is the payment processor is going to be the same one once they get it set up. But because of certain regulations in the CBD side of things, that's what's holding everything up right now. So
that sucks.
It's a piece of paper. That's it. And it's like, oh, I'm like, I get it. But that sucks.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're working on it.
IC Tech coolers. Go to ICTech.com for those who get it. The original double banded cooler. Go over there. Use that code Freedom Friends 10. Get you 10% off. We had another one.
Yeah.
Well, we agree your ass off with Murph.
Yeah. I thought we had a new one though, didn't we?
It's right on the tip of my head. I just can't remember
what it is.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
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 I think you I remember? Get it. No, that's not it.
Okay.
Dave, do you remember?
I think it's Hardhead Veterans.
That's what it was. Hardhead Veterans.
What do they do?
Yeah. They provide quality headgear.
They do. Bump helmets, ballistic helmets.
Yes.
Yeah. All kinds of fun stuff.
And they're just good dudes, man.
They really are.
Just real good dudes. Obviously they hooked us up.
Yeah.
Those of you listening who don't know, we're all wearing helmets. Not for our usual reasons
either. No, that's a way different one.
At least, this one looks cool compared to my other helmet.
This is a way cooler helmet than your other helmet.
Yeah. I don't get looks with this one.
Yeah, right? Good God.
They're just different looks. Yeah. People don't feel sorry for me when they see me wearing this one.
They're just slightly afraid of you.
But as a guy who uses a bump helmet fairly often, a few times a year, I appreciate their bumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're real good, man.
It's comfy.
I've JMPI'd them before. I've never actually jumped one, and I'm looking forward to next month. I'll be jumping one.
I've got three jumps on mine.
Yeah.
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 It,
It's nice.
I've GMPI'd. You and Gil are the two that I have GMPI'd.
Gil's got a Team Wendy.
His orange one?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's their search and rescue.
I thought it was Hardhead.
Nope.
Oh, shit.
No.
Well, then I've...
Ed McAllister was the guy that was running Hardhead Veterans.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nice. I just can't wait to accessorize mine.
Well, so you were talking before, you're going to get like two sets of quads.
Yeah.
So you have double quads.
Yeah.
That way he can see behind himself.
I can see everything.
Yeah.
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 I get a 270 degree
view. All you need is like 20 grand, bro.
That's one set.
Yeah. No, that's a half a set.
That's a half a set.
Yeah. Or half of one
they're
set.
Like 30.
Yeah.
Fucking serious. I thought they were like 10 Gs.
No, 30.
Grand. You show me where Timu doesn't have quads, bro.
Let's fucking find out.
Not good ones.
I don't even know where the phone is. Oh, it's over there.
Quality set of duels will run you about 9 grand.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Jesus. That's gross. It's gross to think about.
There we go.
Yep.
Ooh, 40. 40.
I was 40 wrong. Gs.
Yeah.
Woo. Navy SEALs don't know how fucking good they got it.
Yeah, they do. Ask one. Unless they're on a 3 month long deployment.
Oh, they already told you. Just read their book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny though, because I've talked to Joey about this.
Yeah.
And he told me a friend of ours is a former
DevGrew
operator. And I was like, when he told me he was DevGrew, I was like, dude, what's that like? He goes, Candyland.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, at our armory, there's a sign that's like painted on the wall. It's like a mural.
Yeah.
And it says, welcome to where dreams come true. He goes, because you walk in there and they will build you fucking anything.
Yeah. It's not like, here's your issued weapon. It's what would you like?
Yeah. What do you want for this specific mission this week? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, dude, it's fucking amazing. Everything's art. It comes like zeroed, like BZO'd and stuff. And he's like, obviously we take it to the range.
I was going
to
say, I have trust issues. Yeah. I'm going to have to confirm.
Yeah. But he's like, Boresight everything.
Imagine if that's your job. Like, what's your job? I zero weapons for DevGrew.
Okay. Fucking rad job, dude.
Like, you better not fuck up.
Yeah. I zeroed the weapon that canoed fucking Osama bin Laden's head.
After he was dead.
The one that fucked up PID. You think we don't know? We fucking know. I just said I had buddies on the team. Anyways, Hardhead Veteran, man. Yeah, they come through. And
we don't really have a discount code that I know of, but
I should pursue that a little bit.
But go check them out. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys should absolutely check them out though. Just quality shit, man. And good dudes. Veteran owned company.
Texas based
out of Midland, Odessa area.
Sweetwater.
Same thing.
Just outside Abilene.
Yeah, same area. it's still bigger than your state. That area of our state is bigger than your state. It's east. It's west of here, and that's a whole other like four states worth of place.
Right.
Yeah, because Abilene's what, 6 hours away?
No,
4.5.
3.5 to 4.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What am I thinking of?
Amarillo.
Oh, you're right. That's eight. That's eight.
Yeah. El Paso's 9.
El Paso's. You can do it in 8. You can do it.
Yeah, there's no speed limit out there.
Yeah, you can do it in 8.
Well, it's a suggestion. There's no cops.
Well, there.
I mean, the suggestion.
The cops are all on the. If you're coming from there to here, that's where all the cops are.
Yeah, you're going that way. You're fine. Hammer down, bro. I'm actually not wearing my helmet. I'm wearing Justin's helmet.
Yeah, where's your helmet?
My helmet's at home.
Oh,
because I picked it up the other day, and I was like, ooh, I want to do some stuff to this.
I told him to leave it in his truck, too, so he could have it for today.
He did. And he absolutely did.
I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I've been taking a page out of Justin's book, and I don't leave things in my truck.
No.
Yeah.
Because somebody likes to get their shit broken into. How many times? Is this what? 4?
No one ever said I like it. Quite the opposite.
Yeah. How many times?
This is
twice in this truck though, right?
Twice in this truck, and then in the Mustang, and then in the F-150 I had before this one.
Yep.
He's got a break-in rhythm with.
He just leaves his windows down now with nothing in it.
I don't even lock it.
Don't even lock it anymore.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that was always the thing. Like when I drove a soft top Jeep, everybody would be like, should I lock it when they were getting out? And I'd tell them, don't lock it because the doors that were on my soft top were off of a different Jeep.
Well, that, and I don't want you cutting the soft top to get in. Just open a door, dude. Don't cut my shit.
Well, I wanted the roll up windows, right?
Oh, okay.
So like, I had like a off of a TJ, off of like a 95, I had roll up windows that I rattle canned to match. And so it was just a little off. Like when the light hit it, you were like, wait a minute. That's a different
color. But it's a Jeep, so it's always dirty.
Yeah, nobody give a shit, right? Like, they always be like, should I lock this? I'm like, two things. One, I don't have a key to that door, so please don't. I was like, and two, the only thing a locked door in a Jeep does is get your top cut.
Yep.
Like, that's no point. And I guess that's kind of the same thing as a F-150 then.
No, you just get your window smashed or your door lock busted in.
Yeah, yeah, you know about that too.
Yeah, I got my window smashed.
Yeah. It's F-Series, bro. They've made it too. They've simplified everything in there, which is great if you're not a thief.
No, the getting mine, he did work. He was just good at it.
Yeah. I remember I saw the video.
Yeah. He was just, you were there.
I was there.
But he was just good at it. It was a straight up break-in. It wasn't because of a board.
I wasn't there because if I was there, that shit would have went down a little different.
Were you?
I was there. I was inside with you.
Oh, yeah. We were all inside.
Like, but if one of us were there.
Oh, if we were outside, yeah.
That would have
been. Or if I would have actually got the notification.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That would have been insane. Yeah. But yeah, they straight up broke into mine. It's not because of it was a weak design on Ford's part.
Yeah.
Like, they just, yeah.
Because your big boy ain't got fucking broken into you. Nah. Yeah. But it will.
Yeah.
It's an F-Series. People suck. Yeah. Yeah. How do you like the helmet?
I like it. It's comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much better than the old Kevlars.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking when this morning we were trying them on, and Scott's like, man, this has came a long way since what we had. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, and you know what? The World War II guys said the same thing about the shit that we had back in the day. Right? And they're like, oh, this came a long way. It's like, yeah, yours was metal and you used to drink soup out of it.
Right. And shave. And
right.
Yeah. Like, I've put a steel pot on. No, thank you. I'm all set.
I was so happy when we got our Mitch helmets, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We never got those unless we bought them. I got mine on contract. My first Mitch on contract.
My second deployment was Mitch. It was nice.
No, we had fucking K pots.
You're old.
Yep.
You never had ACUs though, did you?
Nope.
I had ACUs.
So I'm glad I'm old.
you got out before that.
I did.
Nice.
Yep. I had BDUs and DCUs.
There you go.
I still had to shine my boots.
Yep. I had BDUs. Well, what you guys call BDUs. I had those. And then, obviously, I stayed in for a long time. Yeah. But, yeah, I missed them. You know what I missed about it? You could tell right away who was squared away and who was a shitbag.
Yeah, and you didn't have to look hard.
You'd
glance.
That guy looks like a sea bag with arms. He's a turd.
Yeah.
Just be like, whereas this guy, I'm afraid to walk too close. I'm going to get cut by them fucking
creases.
Right. Yeah, like it was way easier. Like, and I remember I was a corporal when the shit changed.
Yeah.
And then when I think I got promoted right around then. And like it would have been right then. And like doing like uniform inspections, I'd look at their boots and be like, what the fuck? I'd be like, you just fucking dust them off, man. Yeah. What the fuck, man? Like, ugh. But then after it kind of worked for me though, because as I phased into being more lazy and and having less give a fuck my damn self.
No, that's why you phased into that.
You know what? I could see it.
That's why you
phased. I could see it as a contributing factor. Sure. Yeah. Maybe. Well, anyways, you guys saw me mention it. We got Dave on the show today.
Yeah.
Filling in for Jazz. Jazz doesn't feel good. It's going around.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Like, matter of fact, after I came back from the show last week, I was down hard Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like
Tuesday wasn't great, but it had nothing to do with an illness.
there's this new thing that I saw, and I don't know how popular it is or not, or if it's actually a thing or anything, but they call it the 100-day cough. And
the 100-day cough.
Yeah. And I guess that's, I guess people have this like just cough and they don't really know why or where it came from. And they're not like sick or anything like that, but it lasts like three months and some change.
No shit.
Yeah.
And, we know there's another virus that came out of China.
Oh yeah. The Chinese white lung or whatever.
Yeah.
There we go. 100-day cough.
Huh.
Urinary incontinence. Well, shit. Oh, it's a highly contagious disease. Okay, well.
Sore ribs, middle ear infections, and urinary incontinence.
What does that mean?
It means you're going to piss yourself.
That means you cough so hard that you give yourself a hernia. You might crack a rib or two. You overpressurize your ears, and then you piss your pants.
That's a solid cough, man.
I know, right? For 100 days, I'd be so mad. I'd look like the chick in the picture. I'd be like, fuck my life.
Dude, dudes who smoke weed already do that shit for 100 days. They're fine. All right? I call it bullshit. It's not good unless you're coughing. Everybody knows that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So John and I have been out for a week. Is there any current events we missed out on? Anything? Anybody?
There is something on a little bit more of a serious note, and I think it'll fall on good ears with our listener base. And it was something that when we were in Virginia over this past weekend for a cigar event, we met up with our old platoon sergeant and sat down, had breakfast, hung out with him for a few hours and just talked about everything. Talked about business, what we're doing, what he's doing. And he's doing some really cool stuff. Talked about life, what he's doing in life. Some of his goals and things like that and kind of where we're at and things that we've been doing. And he brought up something really, really interesting. And then he followed it up with a text after we got back, just make sure we landed safe and everything like that. And one of the things that he was saying is, I'm just going to quote directly from him. He goes, remember to pause every once in a while and take in the life that you've built.
In other words, don't take it for granted.
Yeah. Like realize the things that you're doing. And the way that this came up in conversation is, we were talking about something and I was going through my phone looking for a picture of whatever. And I was scrolling back and I was like, wow, I've actually done some really fucking cool shit lately. Like,
right?
But I've been so busy doing all of these things that I never got a chance to kind of step back and look and be like, wow, like, fuck.
And just sit there and appreciate,
like we're doing cigar events in Virginia, having lunch with a little platoon sergeant. We went to a tank farm and fucking rode in tanks,
which was awesome,
which was amazing.
We'll get into
that in a little bit too, but then like, if I just go through some of my old pictures,
that's like the last 4 days, bro.
Right. yeah, seriously. So went through the tank farm. I was out in Virginia, got to sit in a whole bunch of tanks, riding some of them. That was really cool. At Thanksgiving, I had family that was in town. I was in Mississippi doing cigar events that were out there. I shot a really nice buck in November. Jazz's wedding and the Ren Fair, having that whole weekend of festivities and events.
That was something.
Picked up my gator from last year. Went on the gator hunt again this year. Like, you start going through pictures, and I'm like, oh, fucking A. Like,
yeah.
This is really cool, but I don't really get to stop and look and realize like what's actually going on.
It's actually one of the reasons I appreciate that Facebook does the whole memories thing.
Yeah.
It's
really easy to forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is really nice just to be reminded of something fucking cool that you did. Like, and even if it was like, even if it's not like anything ultra fancy or whatever, but it's still cool as shit. Like, I don't know. I appreciate that they remind me because TBI.
Yeah.
Pause and look back and realize that.
I like that.
The shit that you do is really cool.
Yeah. I like that. Reflect. Well, I like that he said reflect on the life that you've built.
Yeah.
That you've built.
Yeah.
Fucking dig that. That's personal accountability.
Right.
Good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And if you don't have a lot of those cool memories, you got to take time and, it's worth it, right? Like financially, you might not be in the right place. Family life might not be in the right place. Whatever. There's always 1,000 reasons not to do something. And I'm so guilty of this where I'll just not do something. But then when I go do something, I wonder why I put off doing stuff.
Right. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I did this.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but like sometimes going and doing things gives me a little bit of anxiety. But then when I'm there and I'm doing it, I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think part of that's because what you guys have built here, you're so seriously vested in it that, you know, John and I talk about this all the time because it's one of those deals. It's like we get home and after a certain amount of time, it's like, okay, enough work.
Yeah, we gotta stop talking about work. Yeah. So, just relax.
Yeah. So like you feel almost guilty about taking time to go do something for yourself that isn't gonna directly benefit the thing that you've built.
Yeah.
And you feel kind of guilty about it. But then when you're out doing it, you're like, fuck, I actually needed this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of times too, like when I owned the gun shop, I always said every time I get out of the gun shop for a couple days a week and I go do things, it always leads to more opportunities.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, there's never been a time where I felt like whatever I did was a complete waste of time. It's always led into like, you know, like one of the biggest financial burdens that I've ever done in my life was to contribute to the Range 15 movie.
And it changed the trajectory of everything.
Of everything, right? Like I got to meet all the Black Rifle guys. I got to be a part of a movie and see and meet all these other people that I'm still in contact with. You know, it really, that was the best money and time I invested into doing anything.
And it was a net loss.
It was a net loss. Yeah. At the time, it was stupid.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You left for, what was it, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Left me to run the ship.
Yeah.
And he's like, well,
that was fucking dumb.
We'll see. I mean, I understood how everything worked at the time, but it was just like, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And I went there with no expectations other than I needed a break.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to do it for me.
But you also came back extremely motivated.
Yeah.
That might have been the last time you had a beard, too.
Honestly, that led to Warfighter.
It did.
Ultimately, that led to Warfighter. Yep. You know, and so every now and then you just got to put aside the do nots and just make it happen.
Just fucking go for it, man. Full send.
Yep.
Yeah. Just and fucking
full. When you're talking like the you know, thinking about doing something gives you anxiety until you do it.
Yeah.
Same. And sometimes it's debilitating to the point where it's like, I'm not doing it because by deciding not doing it, this feeling goes away.
Yeah.
Right. But if you decide to do it, that feeling goes away too. Once it starts, whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's a road trip or an event or as
you get on the airplane or get in the vehicle.
And so no matter which decision you make, that feeling goes away. So you might as well get that experience.
For sure.
You know, like that anxiety might be there a little bit longer until that trip or event or whatever it is starts, but you're going to have that reward from it.
Yeah.
Versus like, well, why didn't you do that? Oh, I just wasn't feeling it.
Well, I think part of the reason I get some of the anxiety, and it's been a thing that I've noticed lately, like it honestly is an issue, is like, I feel like if I go do a cigar event or whatever, like I have to perform.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be there for the customers. I want to be the best part of me. And sometimes I don't feel like I'm able
until the event starts.
You got to be like switched on.
Dude. Yeah.
Is exhausting.
But what I found out is I don't necessarily have to be. If I'm just being myself.
That's it.
You know,
but there's no show.
Yeah.
It's just being me, but there's people. And so it's that social anxiety of like you play out every situation and every scenario and every conversation in your head leading up to it. And then it happens and it doesn't happen how you played it out in your head.
No.
You know, it's completely different and it's fun. And you have a great time and that anxiety isn't there. And then you get done with it and you're like, I'm so glad I did that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. So join us for our next TED Talk.
Deep thoughts with the Freedom Friend.
Yeah. Right. With Jack Handy. I got something that's current events, boys. Some Ivy League colleges are in some shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Specifically Penn State, Harvard University, and MIT. And I'm reading this thing, which kind of brought up another question. But apparently, and this is all it was, and you can look this up, all right? They were asking, it was Elise Steinfick. She's the Republican congresswoman from New York. She kept asking if, and it was a straight-up question. Like, and the question was, is calling for the genocide of Jews violate your university's code of conduct? And she could not get a fucking straight answer.
Well, she was saying something like, unless it leads to actions.
Well, they were like, it's a case by case basis. Yeah. And unless it's targeted at an individual. And they were like, it's targeted at all of them.
Yeah.
It's genocide. You fucking dunce. Like I don't know how that lady call them all fucking idiots.
The Congress lady, she also said, well, what if you replaced Jews with like black people?
Yeah.
You know, which is a valid point. Like, of course you can't call for the genocide of black people.
Right. Or trans people.
Yeah.
This day and age.
Right. Like,
you know, or whatever. Like, you can't, it's genocide is genocide, man. Like,
so I literally just pulled up headlines. This headline is from 11:55. So a few hours ago, right? As we're recording right now.
Uh-huh.
The headline is, workers who denied Jewish customer access to bathroom fired from California coffee shop.
Wow.
Like,
what the fuck?
How, as a country, did we fucking get here?
Yeah. Just going backwards, bro.
Right. No, but seriously, like, okay, so coming from the state who's fighting to get reparations.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're denying Jewish customers from using a restroom. Like, okay, guys, you need to pick what the fuck you're fighting for.
I tell you what.
Dude, well, here's the
If I was that customer and I can't use the restroom because I'm whatever, then I'm not using the restroom.
I'm shitting on your floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even have to shit. I'm going to make myself shit right here on your floor. Yeah. Same. I'm right there with you. So the other question that kind of posed when I was reading this one is because this is the Associated Press and it says Ivy League presidents reckon with swift backlash to remarks on campus anti-Semitism. That's the headline. Facing heavy criticism, the University of Pennsylvania's president walked back some of her remarks given earlier this week at a congressional hearing on campus anti-Semitism. So in other words, you walked back what you were under oath to say? Did you just admit fucking perjury by walking shit back then? You know what I'm saying? Like it.
And if you watch the
video, that's a question.
This fucking bitch is saying all of this shit or not answering these questions with this fucking smirk on her face.
Yeah.
That is like she's just better than who she's talking to. And it's just crazy.
It blows my mind that a question that is so clear, they can't answer it in fear of what other people are going to think.
It's funny. This
because it's not a viewpoint thing.
No.
Right. She was coached by a team of lawyers on what her responses to the question, to the congressional questions are going to be. Right. And she answered a very blatant question with a lawyered up answer.
And she repeated that lawyered up answer 100 times.
Yeah.
Didn't she say something was like, it depends on the context.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on if it's targeted.
There is no context. Does it? Yes. Okay, next question.
Yeah,
you take that out and you put any other race, any other group of people,
absolutely
in there.
Well, so,
and then what's the answer?
So let's be devil's advocate here, right? It's free speech.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is, and
you're allowed to be an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. But free speech comes. You can do anything you want in life, anything. But there's consequences to your fucking
action.
There
is. Yeah. But there's also discrimination laws.
This is funny. Rare bipartisan unity forms in Congress over the Harvard, MIT, and Penn president's fuck up. You brought us together.
Yeah. Well, good job on that one. But that means if you have
leave Congress, it to the Jews, you sneaky devils. If I knew you'd come through.
If you
fucking
have
A.
Congress agreeing on something, you done fucked up.
Fucking A, man. Like,
fuck.
Dude. Well, and yeah, like if AOC and Mitch McConnell are both like, no.
Yeah, fuck that.
Like, there's a fucking issue, man. If Ted Cruz is on the side of fucking Ilhan Omar, you're probably fucked.
I don't think she agreed. I think she agreed with.
Well, she probably did agree. Yeah.
I don't think she. Yeah. She was the exception.
She was actually like, I vote yay. Is that right?
Here's another headline that I absolutely love. As UN talks collapse, the world has no plan to adapt to climate change.
Yes, because that's really relevant right
now. Okay.
Like,
climate change is always relevant, Dave.
Well, and the world never has had this.
There's no climate change. There's an agenda of transferring everything over to whatever the politicians are trying to make money off of right now.
Yeah.
But the climate is doing what the climate is fucking doing. And there's no changing or stopping it. I'm sorry. There's not. Yeah. Like, it's done it like this for hundreds of millions of years, and it's going to keep fucking doing it.
Well, it's always funny that, like, the polar ice caps are melting. The polar ice caps have been melting since fucking the existence of humanity. It's called an ice age. And we're on the back end.
You know when they melt, when they melted the most was when all those meteorites hit the world.
Yeah.
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 And that's what, you know, a big part of climate change happened.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
But
Florida was supposed to be underwater like 10 years ago, according to Al Gore.
So that's true. That's true.
I remember that from the fucking, what was that, 92?
Yeah.
I think it was 92 when he was running. And what'd he say, within 10 years or something?
Yeah.
10 or 12 years.
God. How old's Greta Thunberg?
She's an adult now.
Is she?
I think she's 21 at least, yeah.
No.
She is 20 years old.
Oh, really?
Born in 2003.
Jesus.
Yeesh.
That's an adult.
She'll turn 21 in a month.
See, that's when we're going to start to see some changes in Greta. She's going to start getting boozed up with the homies.
And paying some taxes.
She's going to she's going to make a mistake. She's going to go home with a dude like Gary.
I would love to see that.
like she's going to make a mistake and be like, fuck. Not only,
like, at that point, Gary, you're doing it for the world.
She's getting a little bit of life experience, though, right? And it's just going to slowly, you're just going to.
Whoa, hey.
What the shit was that?
That's a weird noise, man.
All right, we're going to fuck with some technical difficulties. We'll be right back.
We'll get back to talking about Greta. So anyways, Greta. you're going to see you're getting some life experience. Yeah. And like some opinionated change is going to be coming through.
Probably.
And then it's going to come out like she's going to be like drunk out with like Lindsay Lohan or some shit. And she's going to turn into like, you know. Because nature's going to take over. Nature and money and popularity is going to take over.
And maybe she won't want to date a beta her whole life. So there's that.
Like I said, she's going to make a decision. She's going to make a poor choice one night, have some shots, wake up next to a fucking dude like Gary, and fucking, yeah. And then she's going to be like, oh, fuck. And then it's going to get leaked. Or her phone's going to get hacked. There's going to be a Fappening version 2, and you're going to see that shit.
I can't wait for the headline.
Like, it's going to be, like, there's going to be a fall from grace, man. Like, and then in, like, 10 years when she's fucking, you know, at the UN trying to still have a job, it's going to just only get worse from there. That's.
Hey, let's pause again real quick.
Jesus, fuck. So anyways, Greta's tits.
All right. Yeah, just because we have fancy equipment now doesn't mean we're any better than
a mediocre
fucking podcast.
Mediocre at best, man. We never promised anything more than that. Ever.
Only as good as the cable manufacturers.
That's very, very true.
Fuck you, China.
Now, we do have some XLR cables, don't we? Holy fuck.
I think, yeah. They're consumables.
Yeah. However, you guys can't see it, but we actually do have a new setup in here.
It's pretty nice.
It looks really good. It looks really good. Last week looked good, too.
We got rid of all the tripods. All the lights and cameras are mounted.
Now we don't have to worry about the drunk peanut gallery knocking over cameras.
Yeah. Or dogs. More so dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, dogs get wild, especially when Jazz got fucking Freya in here. She's like that poor girl's tail is just... It's a weapon.
She's just happy.
She's a happy baby.
Yeah. And then when Rich Derrick brings Bravo.
Yep.
Same.
Same.
And all three of them are here. It's just chaos.
Yep. Well, it's two chaos. And then Kira going like, why'd you bring children here? Why the fuck are there kids here, dude?
So I'm trying to nap.
Yeah. This is my work, bro. This is my work. So I come to your work and bring fucking kids? No.
Oh, that's funny.
So we had mentioned you guys were fucking around with tanks. Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. So we went to a place, I don't remember where in Virginia, right outside of the base, whatever it is there.
Triangle? Right outside of Quantico.
Triangle?
And it's called the Tank Farm. And wow, it was quite the collection of tanks. They had some really cool stuff. T-72s, Shermans, Lees, Quad 50s. They had all the shit. It was fun. And so we got a good tour. Got told about the history of some of the stuff they have there.
Noakesville, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
And
so the south side.
No, it's right by, it's just outside DC by Quantico.
We got to ride around in an APC.
So north side of
the I guess the Freedom Friends all assume I bought a tank.
Yeah.
Not true.
You guys in the buddy check were like, oh, okay.
It's not true. I did not buy a tank yet.
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 I did inquire.
You did get introduced to a new tank you might like.
Yeah, and it's been on my radar. It's just slightly heavier than I wanted, but
slightly. 15 tons. Yeah.
Well.
In a tank world, that's light.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's logistics involved with that 15 tons that you have to account for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's certain trailers and fucking, yeah. You know,
CDLs.
I was gonna say licensing, but yeah,
you know, like, whatever. But then we go to, you know, you look at investments and you know, the tank prices have, since I wanted my tank, if I would have bought the tank I wanted, I could have like quadrupled my money. So
yeah,
I'm kind of looking at it as a historical investment, if you will.
There you go.
You know,
it's never going to go down.
It's never going to go down in price. There's going to be some maintenance costs, but like, say you can't afford the maintenance for 5 years. Okay. It sits for 5 years, you know, it might cost you a little bit to get it going again, but
sure. Like,
it's never, you still have
a tank,
right? You still have
the cool thing. In one of the barns that they had there was kind of where they do all their restorations and all their maintenance and everything like that. And so on the backside of it, like, it's like, you know, a couple of bays wide, just enough to get one tank at a time or maybe two that are tight. And then the backside of it is this huge warehouse that is just stacked floor to ceiling, all, everywhere you can look, with just parts yeah. and parts and parts and part, like insane amount of stuff.
I thought you were going to bring up the tools needed.
That's where I'm going with this. Oh. So as we get out, we walk up and down every aisle and every row and look at all the parts that were back there. And they had some awesome, like new old stock from World War II. Like purchase date 1944, you know, like, or manufacture date.
You need a 9/16th wrench.
No. Bar. No, a 9/16th. The hell you need that for? Putting a radio in? No. Right? It was literally big fucking wrench next to bigger fucking wrench yep. next to bigger fucking wrench and a hammer next to a bigger hammer and a bigger hammer and a sledgehammer and a bigger one and a bigger yeah. one and crescent wrenches and these custom wrenches that are, you know, this big and all this stuff, right? Yeah. There wasn't a single screwdriver. There wasn't a single, like, not, there wasn't a toolbox.
There was no computers.
Nope. Because everything was too big. You couldn't, if you had a toolbox there, all it would do is take up room and nothing would be in. Yeah. It's just all hanging on the wall or leaned up against something. And I was just like, well, you don't need much to work on these. And the guy laughs and he's like, yeah, you just need a cutter and a welder and you're good.
Big ass wrenches and breaker bars.
Yep.
Yeah. Tank bars, breaker bars.
I did learn.
And hoists.
Cheater pipes.
One of the coolest things I learned there is I think it was on one of the.
Go for the ramps.
It was on one of the Russian tanks. He was showing us how the tracks worked. Oh, and there was a pin that didn't have a nut or anything on it, right? And the pin would work its way out. But every rotation of the track, it had a thing that pushed the pin back in.
So the old tanks in the movies where you hear them and they go ting, 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 ting. Those are those pins getting knocked back in as the tracks are rolling.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Right? I was like, that's genius.
It's pretty fucking smart.
Yeah. I thought that was
cool. You could break track fucking in any spot then.
Anywhere.
Like, yeah.
Yep, doesn't matter.
Great.
And it, easily.
Yeah.
Because the pins were moving.
Because like how the tracks work in an Amtrak is there's a track pin.
Yeah.
That goes through. The meshing parts, right? Yeah, like right. the pad yeah. and the fucking boom. And then the track pin goes through the little middle thing. Yeah. Right. And then, but there's nuts on both sides, yeah. you know? And like, it was always funny. Cause you could tell you'd be like, all right, fuck. I fucked up this side. It means I got to beat it from this side.
Right.
To like break the track. And yeah. it's like, fuck dude. So you had to like get under with the sledgehammer. Yeah. You got like your boot down there trying to break the track from the inside out because this side got hit by a curb or a fucking right. something, you know, like type of thing. There's always putting it back together is fine. Just fuck it up more. Who gives you shit?
I will tell you, I didn't realize how cold or how much the tanks hold in the cold.
Right.
And
well, made of metal, man.
The heat's the same way.
It is same, but there wasn't any heat that while we were there.
It was 30 degrees, and the tank metal was probably 20 degrees.
And it felt so much colder than that.
Yeah. So we have a heater in an AAV.
I'm just talking about as they're stored.
But there is like definitely no AC.
There's so much metal in that hangar because they use an old hangar to store a lot of the tanks they do for like shows and stuff like that. Then they have an outdoor barn that's separate. But in the one that has a hangar, there's probably, 35 tanks that were in there maybe? Yeah, probably.
Is that the video you showed me? Yeah. They're jammed in there, too. And
you can barely fit a piece of paper in between.
Yeah, well, you know what it looks like? It looks like the well deck of a ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's funny, we were asking them how they organize everything in there, and they're like, is it the same every time? Like, you guys have spots marked, and each tank goes? He goes, no. He goes, every single time we put them back in, it's different. And we're like, oh, we might use this one. So we're going to keep this one towards the front. And then the one that we need is the one that's all the way in the fucking back.
Every
time.
We're
going to pull everything out just to get that one.
Every time. Sure.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. And they were very, very knowledgeable about every piece of equipment that they had.
That's cool, man.
And, you know, of course, us asking retarded fucking questions. And there's a couple that they're like, hey, man, I don't fucking know. You know, like, but the majority of it, like they were above and beyond with the knowledge of what they were talking to us about and the history in some of those tanks and some of the ones they had, like they had a Sherman serial number 3.
That's fucking dope. That's so cool, man.
I couldn't fit in the driving hatch like at all. There's no way I was going to fit in it.
No.
I fit.
So like realistically, how small did tankers have to be?
Well, they had to be in World War II, they had to be Justin size.
Yeah. They had to be like 150 pounds max.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Because there's no way, like I couldn't. There's a Stewart that was there. And in the hatches and the driver's hatch in the Stewart, they have this rubber gasket so that it seals. Right. In the driver's hatch, they remove that rubber gasket. And I climbed in it. I got all the way in, the seat comes down. I was sitting in it. And I'm like, this thing's cool as shit. Like I'm definitely not built to be a tanker, but I fit in this one. And so I'm like, hey, Scott, jump in here. I'm gonna jump in the other seat. We'll get a cool picture. So Scott jumps in that seat. I'm like, awesome. So I climb over to the other seat. It still had that gasket in it, right? And when I get in a tank, if you're not watching, I have to keep my arms up above my head like I'm doing a pencil dive into the water and like jump into the tank and just kind of hope I slide in and everything fits. So I go to do that in the hatch with the head of the gasket in it, and I get my hips past and I put my arms up and I go to slide in like this, and it literally goes and it sticks in my ribs right here, and I was like bam, and I was like, I think I might be stuck.
like my feet are all weird, dude.
Right? I'm like, fuck. But yeah, there's only like 3 or 4 tanks that were there that I could fit in.
Like, dude, I need giant fucking dudes in my community.
Now, if you get in the hatch in the turret, I can fit in that.
Yeah.
But I can't drive one of those things. And you can, like, they said that you can crawl, and most tanks you can crawl from coming in the hatch, you can crawl into the driver's seat. I couldn't.
Yeah.
Somebody could. It's not me.
I used to sleep in the driver's station, man. Like, I would like lift the seats up and sleep under the seats.
But these are all World War II tanks.
Like, yeah.
So they are built different than modern tanks.
For sure.
Because like I've been in an Abrams.
Yeah.
That's fine. I could be a tanker in an Abrams.
Yeah.
I couldn't be a tanker in World War II.
Just physically too big.
Physically, I couldn't do it.
Well, I got bad news for us. You and I would have been doing the exact same fucking job in World War II that we did in our war. Fucking,
I would have been okay with it.
They'd have been like, here's your BAR, bro.
Two Nazis walked into it.
Dude, my granddad told me, because he was a BAR guy, and he told me that when he first got handed his BAR, the sergeant that was like issuing shit was like, he's like, looks like you wear a size 50 shirt and a size 2 hat. It's just like, here you go. It's just like the most like 1940s way of saying you're big and dumb, yeah, like I've ever heard, right? Like,
there's John stuck in the tank.
Yep.
nice.
It was funny. So we get to the cigar event, and like my ribs are sore, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Oh yeah, I got stuck in a tank. I was like, oh, that hurts. Like, I was committed to fitting in that thing. I just didn't think it was that skinny.
That's funny.
So the average U.S. soldier in World War II was 5'8" and 144 pounds.
Yeah, that makes sense. They'd fit perfect.
Tall, skinny dudes, yeah. Man. Not tall, but.
I mean, then again, like I was.
Well, what's the average size of today's soldier?
Oh God.
I'm above average.
I'd say we're probably above
it. When I was in the military, I was, well, for a period, I was 6'1", about 205.
Yeah, me too. That's normal fighting.
And I was that for years.
Same.
And then I found working out and supplements and all that kind of fun stuff. Yep. And then I went from 205 to like 250.
Which really helped out when you were a 240 gunner.
It did. It helped out a lot. And I was in shape. I was still fast. Like I maxed my run, everything. You know what I mean? Now I'm similar, but I don't max my run. And
no,
I don't even run. Fuck,
no, I'm not running.
I don't even chase my whiskey, let alone run.
Dude, I'm not running an 18 minute fucking 3 mile, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck all that.
Nope.
Even at my best, I still never did.
Yeah.
I've never gotten a perfect score.
Really?
I've never ran 18 minute 3 mile. Oh. The fastest I ever went was 1840.
Pussy.
Is you okay? Yeah. 1840 was the fastest I ever did. That was like right after Sarge course and DI school and all that.
I ran
shit.
Our PT test in an 18 a couple times.
That I could probably, that I'm able to pull off.
2 miles.
I might be able to pull that one off in 18 minutes. That last one though, fuck that thing.
I can imagine.
What was the worst PT test you ever had to take?
Like
worst define worst
for, okay. I'll give you my example.
Like my worst score or the worst
situation. Like I had to take one at Headquarters Marine Corps, which is in DC. Yeah. Right. And, first of all, the fucking idiot who was running their 3 shop did not explain this route to me very well at all. But the hardest part is that it went right along the wall of Arlington National Cemetery. And at one point or another, I had to run through a fucking funeral that was happening at Arlington. So me being me, I fucking stopped. And I'm like, I'm not running through this.
Yeah.
So I ran around it. And then I get around the funeral, and then it goes down this little hill kind of thing. And then I guess I was supposed to turn left and go up this other hill, but I stayed on that road because he never told me to turn left. And then I'm down there running around, and I'm like, where the fuck do I go? I'm lost.
Yeah.
And then I hear a horn honking, and I see this fucking idiot on top of the hill going, and I'm like, okay. So I turn around and run all the way to fuck back and run up the hill and shit. Needless to say, it's also the only PT run that I ever failed because I came in after.
I would have thought too long. Like, look, I was doing PT. I wasn't doing land nav.
Yeah, they didn't. And that's literally what happened. It didn't get counted, but it was still like, so, I was like, it was a waste of a fucking day.
I have a good story about the worst situation. So this is the end of my 2005 deployment. I had been demoted for a month, and I'm getting out in 2 months. And I'm getting ready to go back on mid-tour leave for a week, which was right at the end of my deployment anyway. And I get to my base, and they're like, hey, you need to take a PT test. I'm like, I don't have any PT uniforms. Like, I'm literally flying out to go home tomorrow. I didn't know I had to do a PT test, right? It's in Iraq, 120 degrees, and so I said, well, how about you do this? Mark me down as a fucking zero, and I'm not taking this fucking PT test.
Right.
And they did, and that's why I didn't get – that is the sole reason I probably did not get an end-of-service award.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How's that working out for you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
But, so that one I got a zero on.
Yeah.
So.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. They pulled that shit on my buddy Keys. Keys was my boss when I first got into the Amtrak community. He was my corporal. And then by the time he left, I was his corporal. Because Keys is a very small statured man. Like took third in Mr. Puniverse, which was like a local radio show, like fucking thing that they did in San Diego. It was hilarious. I remember the chick who played Mr. Man in a scary movie was one of the judges, as was Shay Sweet, the porn star who signed my dick. Thanks, Shay. My ex-wife was super happy about that. Anyways.
Wait. John has questions.
So I don't know who this porn star is. Was it a dude or a chick?
Shay Sweet. She's a lady.
Oh, I thought you said Che. Yeah. And I immediately went to like, some dude signed your dick. Like, no. And I was like, no. Wait.
No, definitely not. And then
did she get her whole name on it?
She did. And then she gave me hugs. She's like, I'm going home with him. And I'm like, the fuck you are. I was like, oh, did I mention that I'm underage?
And married.
Yeah, I was like 20 years old. Anyways, so I
how many people did you show this autograph to?
Just the people who were there. Yeah. There is a picture of it somewhere that exists. It was on her website, I guess. I don't know. I never paid for her website, so
Freedom never. Friends, new quest.
find Mikey's dick.
That's not my dick anymore, man. That's young, virile, fucking 20-year-old Mikey dick. 42-year-old Mikey dick does not look like that. So knock yourself out. Anyways, my buddy Keys, they hit him with the fucking, like, so he's a little guy. He gets into a fucking argument with his now ex-wife at one point, and she's beating the shit out of him in base housing, got him pinned down, full mount, fucking this dude up. Right? He's so little, his Asian wife is beating the fuck out of him, right?
How the fuck did he hit high weight standards to enlist?
Double rat, bro. But so he reaches over and grabs the only thing he could find, which is
a 45,
his shoes, his fucking running shoes. And he fucking hits her with a ked across the fucking head.
Yeah.
Locks, knocks
is
her off.
Is he Hispanic?
Of him. No.
Oh, okay.
But he was that day. Because he found the chancla.
Yep.
So he hits her with a fucking shoe. She calls the fucking MPs. He gets a domestic violence charge. Fucking bullshit. Gets busted down to Lance Corporal. This dude was so fucking, I don't give a fuck, that people would fucking call the shop and he'd be like, track vehicle maintenance, ex-Corporal Keys. He wouldn't even say Lance Corporal. He'd just say ex-Corporal. Like,
perfect.
It was fucking funny. So about fucking 3 days before he's fit to get out, right? He's getting ready to just the EAS, just to be done. They hit him with a fucking, you have to take a fucking PFT. And he's like, do I? They're like, yeah, you do. And he's like, okay, fine. The minimum standard for crunches, 55. This dude did 55 and he's a little dude. He's in shape.
Yeah.
He does 55 crunches in like less than a minute and then just stands up. He's like, good. He gets up on the fucking pull up bar and he's like, one, two, three, good. Drops, does the fucking minimum on everything. He's running in the PFT. He wasn't even close to being like to fail a PFT. It's like 29 minutes. Like you're better off just fucking running it to get it over with. Right.
For 3 miles of 29 minutes, you can almost walk that.
You can,
you know,
you fucking can. Like, I mean,
it's an airborne shuffle, 10 minute mile pace,
100%. And you'd be all right. You know, you're going to get a really shitty score, but yeah. He gets down to like the last, like, I don't know, 20 feet, maybe 50 feet of the PFT course and just stops and starts doing this. Just starts going. Just one step at a time. Like he's running really fast. Like he's in slow-mo, just fucking getting it. And the fucking first sergeant standing there and he's mattered fuck. And the CEO standing there, he's mattered fuck. And they're like, let's go, Keys. And he's like, I'm all good, sir. Appreciate it. He's doing this the whole time. Yeah.
And then he got out in 2 days.
And then he got out in 2 days and nobody gave a fuck. And, nope. And he was like, thanks for making me run that PFT, guys.
Yeah.
Like, super important. Yeah, like, it was ridiculous.
That's the thing. My shittiest one, circumstance-wise, it was the first one I ever took basic training. And we were running a half-mile track, so we had to do 4 laps. And I came around, and I think we needed like a 17:56 or something like that to pass. That sounds right. And I came around on my third lap, and I was at like 17:40. Wow. And they're like, Simon, 17, or whatever my number was, 17:40. And I'm like, roger that. And I just went off to the side and just fucking went with it. And nobody said a fucking word. And then the back of my mind leading up until this next PT test, I was just like, oh, I'm so I was so fucked. Like I barely passed on 3 laps out of a 4-lap run, and now I'm gonna do this. Like, but I made it the next time. I actually made it all 4 laps, and I didn't improve much.
Because if you fail the initial, nobody really gives a fuck.
Well, no,
you get put on the program.
Yeah, now all of a sudden your life's hell until the next PT test.
That's true.
That's what
true.
I didn't want.
No. That's true.
I remember to get into basic, we had to run 1 mile. It's called 30th AG, and it's like a
reception.
Yeah, they give you uniforms, your name tapes, all the fucking, all your basic shop packing bullshit.
Get your name tapes?
Yeah.
Look at our name, too. It's like third phase. We're just walking around like a bunch of fucking nameless idiots. Oh.
Marines are pores.
Yeah.
It's true. We also have an attrition rate that's fucking that's a thing. So yeah. Why waste the money on putting names on shit? They're not going to make it, you know? Yeah.
But we had to run a mile, I think, in 9 minutes.
Yeah.
In order to just go to basic training.
Yeah.
Like if you couldn't do that, then you stay there and you kept doing your shit.
It's the IST, the initial strength test.
I think something like that.
That's what we use. Yeah.
And I remember like I came in at like 8:57 and I was like puking and dying, dude. You know? And I'm just like, oh, this is going to suck so bad. Yeah.
Bro, I'm just saying, I've never been a runner.
Dude, I was a hockey player.
Yeah.
We sprint and glide. You know what I mean? There was like, no distance. There was no running.
Yeah, dude.
Like my cardio was like a 30 foot all out. And then, okay, I get a minute and a half on the ice and I'm dying on the bench until I come back out. Yeah, you know,
like I've never been a runner either, man. Like it's just fuck all that.
Yep.
Yeah. But you what was like your, a 30 second shift.
What was your best run?
My best run was, I was like 11:30.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I got like right. And I was right towards that. I was getting out. That was after Iraq.
Yeah.
So you got fast.
I got
you
really good.
You can't not get fast.
It's not, that's especially true. Not in the infantry. Yeah. We fucking ran.
I think I hit the 11:59 one time.
Yeah.
That was my best.
Yeah. It was like 11:20 or 11:30 was my all time best. And once I hit that, it never got any better. Then it was back up in the 12s.
Yeah.
My goal then was just, I think 13:02 was 100% is the fastest. Anything under that, it was you maxed your run. So then my goal was like between 11:50 and 13. Like I just need 100% on that. I'm not going to fucking kill myself. But we used to have a first lieutenant, Lieutenant Barnett.
Jesus Christ.
This motherfucker, he was a beast. I remember I was holding his feet for the sit-ups, right? And he was like, I'm struggling to hold his feet because he's just fucking going to just town.
Momentum.
Yeah, just right?
Fucking moving.
And in 2 minutes, I think he did like 150, 100 and something, like 140, 150 sit-ups. And so, they, you know, they call time and the grader, you know, told him what he got and he was pissed. I'm like, sir, why are you mad? Like, you'd fucking crush that. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, but I was shooting for, like, they have an extended stick scale.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was shooting for whatever, a 160, because it would have got me this at the end of it. And I'm mad I didn't make that. And I'm like, well, we're different people, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
yeah. But that dude would run. He'd run in, like, the 10s.
No.
Oh, yeah. He was insane.
No, faster than that. I remember.
Maybe, probably.
It was faster than that, I think.
Dude, I had a Marine named Luke Buchko. We were in Okinawa. And he got promoted to corporal. And when you pick up corporal in the Marines, get your blood stripes.
Yeah.
And we fucking hazed this poor kid. We beat the shit out of him, right? And he was just purple from like his fucking ass cheeks to his knees, man. Yeah. Just all the way down the sides of his legs. So he shows up to PT Monday morning limping and shit. Or it was like Friday. It was Friday morning. And he shows up limping and shit, but he's wearing sweats. It's fucking black flag conditions at like 8 a.m. out there, man. So everybody else is in silkies and he's wearing sweats and they're like, what the fuck? And he's like, yeah, I'm cutting weight. And they're like, oh, okay. So we go on a run and he fucking dropped out of a run.
Oh,
well, the rule was if you fell out of one of Gunny's runs, you got to take a PFT on Saturday.
Oh,
so this was Wednesday when it happened. Because I had him on phone watch on Friday. I got him out of PT for Friday.
Yeah.
Because I knew he had a PFT the next day, right? Yeah. This fucking kid. And I was pissed because I'm his fucking sergeant at the time. I got to be there too to make sure that he's fucking there on time, right? Because misery loves company. So Saturday morning we get up and Buchko's legs feel better now. This fucking bullet runs a fucking 15:43 mile PFT.
Jesus.
This kid was lightning.
Yeah.
He was fucking fast, man. Like Olympic runner fucking level lightning, right? Kid was amazing. And yeah, dude, he fucking busts out like a fucking 15:40 or something gross. It was just like, they were like, was he got fucking wheels on? I was like, I don't know. Dude. And it was funny because it was like, a week after that is when I busted the dude on Heelys I told you about that was like fucking screaming down. It was the same PFT course because like half of it was downhill. It was fucking silly. But yeah, dude, fucking, yeah. And I was like, this motherfucker actually did have wheels. But yeah, dude, it was, I was like, who the fuck is built to move like that, man? Like, how do you?
Yeah, see, the way my lungs are set up.
Right. Like you're not a human being at that point. No. Like, it's crazy.
I threw up every single run I had to do for a PT test.
Well, that means you were trying.
Yeah, if you didn't put it out, you weren't running.
That was the standard.
Yeah.
If in the infantry for us, if you didn't get 100,
and
that's okay. But if you weren't throwing up when you got done, you didn't try hard enough.
And it got to the point where I knew it was always at like a mile and a half. And then I'd be like, all right, here we go. And then I'd wait until it was right about time. And then I'd streamlined it. Like I learned the pace I could run still without getting it on myself. And so I'd just be like a slight jog, just let it all out and then get right back on it.
There you go. See, I could hold it in and I would sprint like the last, I don't know, 200 meters, right?
And as soon as you cross that line, projectile.
Yeah. Just going fucking, for distance.
Like you're pushing people out of the way to get to the grass.
Yeah. Yep.
So what are some things that you learned to do in the military that you would never have learned to do anywhere else? And I'll start so you can kind of see where my head's at with this.
Okay.
I learned how to take a piss while walking in a road march. I wouldn't stop. I wouldn't slow down. I wouldn't lose my pace, but I could pee at the same time.
Nice. I can light a cigarette on a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
Like an open air moving vehicle. Yeah. That's probably one of those.
Yeah.
I know how to appropriately shit into a bag. And you laugh, but that's a skill.
Yeah. It really is.
It is not something you master the first time.
Yeah. or figuring out how to use an e-tool as an actual toilet you can sit on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Fuck yeah.
I learned I could drive home during heat stroke. A stick shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't get out of the car. I had to honk the horn and she had to come help me a couple times.
That'll do it. I learned that Doc does not spit on that thermometer first. No. You probably did. Heat stroke shit.
Well, I didn't get the... I just drove home.
Never had to get the silver bullet?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I was hydrated. Like, I knew I was... It was always like, oh, I have a run tomorrow. I better drink water.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't... I don't know.
I don't know how I used to do. We used to drink. And then I'd do PT tests.
Oh, dude. I remember being like shit-faced in formation.
Right.
Getting ready for like a ruck or something. And I'm just fucking still hammered from the night before.
Yeah, that's be fine.
Right?
Like, I'll take a nap in the afternoon, maybe.
I took a nap in the middle of a ruck one time. I blacked out an entire fucking ruck march once. Like, I have no idea. We went on like a fucking 10-mile hike. And I remember going up over this bridge. And then I remember coming back over the bridge. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, my God. And apparently, here's the scary part. I called Cadence for like half the fucking road. I don't remember any of it. Completely blacked out. Fucking shit face. I remember we sent this dude Munoz out to the fucking CBS to buy some Pedialyte while we're in fucking formation. And we're drinking Pedialyte. Just fucking trash. He bought like a case of Pedialyte. Yeah. Ugh. God, that makes my body hurt thinking about doing that shit.
I fell asleep in airborne school, standing up in full kit after JMPI and we're on a weather delay. And I woke up with a fucking black hat in my face. You fucking sleeping? I'm like, well, I don't know, Sergeant Airborne. He's like, you were fucking sleeping. And then my hand was on my reserve and everything. And I was just like no idea what the fuck's going on, you know?
Well, I'm like, still standing. I don't know.
He's like, what in the fuck?
I guarantee you he tells that story.
He probably does.
He's like, I saw a motherfucker fall asleep standing up and still had reserve discipline.
Well, I went from basic and then I go into airborne. And airborne's, it's a gentleman's course. You get weekends off and nights off.
Yeah.
And we figured out a way to go get booze at the little...
quick question. Is that what classifies it as a gentleman's course?
You get nights and weekends off?
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That's buds. throwing that shit out there.
Does buds get nights and weekends off?
Yes.
Yeah.
They do.
You go home and sleep in your own fucking bed.
Get the fuck out of here.
And you get drunk on the weekends.
Yeah.
If you want.
I wouldn't. That's a fucking terrible idea.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Well, it depends.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Mikey. Today's Mikey thinks that's a horrible idea.
If I showed up to Buds and they were like, oh, you get that, I'd have been like, fuck yeah.
Right? that's half of the nutrition rate.
They never tell that part of Buds, but yes, you get nights and weekends off. Right?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
If I'm wrong, tell me, but I don't think I'm wrong. Navy SEALs.
Navy
SEALs. Part of me wants to call Joey right now.
Like, hey, man, did you get nights and weekends off when you were in Buds?
We're fucking doing it.
That's why Hell Week is so hard. You don't get the evenings off. You, Hell Week. All right, let's see. Monday morning ends Friday evening, gets the weekend off.
During the third phase.
Okay, so they don't get nights off. I was wrong there.
Well, so it's a Monday through Friday. They get weekends off.
Yeah.
That's just a work week.
Yeah, all I got to do is make it to the weekend.
I'm fucking calling him. We're gonna get to the bottom of this.
The third phase, they said, you don't get any.
Well, that's because it's Hell Week.
Hey, buddy. Full disclosure, you're on a speakerphone and you're on the podcast right now.
Sweet.
We had a question about Navy SEAL stuff.
I have no idea who those guys are.
That's how we know you're real. Do you guys get nights and weekends off in Buds?
So nights, kind of, not really. Weekends, yes. But those who take those nights and weekends to the full advantage do not make it through the training. Because as all your nights and weekends off time are consumed with prepping for the next day, especially in first phase and second phase.
That makes sense. That's kind of what we just said. It's like, yeah, you get it, but you're definitely not using them.
Yeah. From like 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. is your time, but it's not your time because there's recall things and surprise visits from cadre and lots of small activities like, hey, is your knife sharpened and not full of rust? Is your canteen dry, but is it full?
How many times did he get drunk on the weekends? Little
games that go along.
Yeah. How many times did you get drunk on the weekends?
And I can tell you honestly, it was closer towards the third phase portion, and it was maybe 5 to 10 total.
Yeah.
I didn't really start hammered down and partying like a rock star until like SQT, because that was more of a nice, hey, you almost made it, so don't suck, but you're not sucking that bad because you're almost there.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
During Buds, like first phase, probably not at all. Second phase, probably is like one night maybe, and that's usually towards the end of second phase because you have this like class up party where you're getting out of one phase and going to the next, and your class proctor will join you, and that's usually a hoot.
Sure.
Third phase for sure. When you finish third phase, it's the final phase and go to SQT. They have this big party on the island at the Hellbox, and the instructors get you pretty sloshed on purpose, and then they beat you really hardcore the next day, letting you know that just because you finished Buds doesn't mean it's over. So it's always entertaining.
That's I like that tactic.
That's well worth it, though.
Yeah, I respect that tactic. That's good. Okay, cool. All right. We had some questions, man. I'll call you later.
Yeah, hell yeah, bud.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for the phone a friend.
You would definitely be my phone a friend for anything, yes. Navy SEAL related.
I appreciate it.
And butt stuff.
All right, later, guys.
Later, buddy. Joey Hahn, everybody, aka the Bearded Frogman on Instagram. Check him out; he's a good dude. Make some funny content.
So I'll just throw this out there: if there was at any point in any school where I knew I could get drunk, whether it's a week or two from now or whatever, it's going to carry me through,
right?
It's going to carry me through.
That is the most infantry fucking thing I've ever heard. But and seriously. You're so right. You're so fucking right.
Right? Like, hey, we're in 5 days, we're drinking. Like, okay. Okay.
Like, there were rumors in basic that in, well, I don't know if it's still this way or not, but back in my day, we had to do a 25 mile ruck. And at the finish line of the ruck is when they did the turning blue ceremony. And they had, there was rumors that it was a grog. There was booze that was in it. And we all get this. And it was good. And it was just hot blue Gatorade. It sucked.
That's cool.
But that was like one of those motivating factors. Like, oh, wow, at least I'm going to get something to drink at the end of this, you know? And then we get there and it's just like, oh, well, this
shitty blue Gatorade.
I never had that rumor. And I don't think when I went to basic, we did the turning blue thing. I think they changed it after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we did it. Like, we finished that ruck and it was fucking like midnight. It was pitch black. And we walked up, and it was up by the PT. It was on Sand Hill. It was just on the north side of 150, across from the PT track that I fucked up on. And they had like, it's where they do that like the all the typical pictures and shit like that of in the woods with like the archway that they walk through and everything. Yeah.
Huh.
And then, I mean, it was cool shit. And then, but the worst part about it was like, we went up and we did this and I was like, oh yeah, cool. Awesome. And they're like, okay, put your shit back on and walk back to your barracks. And you're like, fuck.
Yep.
Like, really? I just stopped for an hour and you want me to like, fuck yeah, off.
That's the hardest problem. When I went through boot camp, when you do the crucible.
Yeah.
So it's like the crucible's 3 days. It's 72 hours, three meals. You're hiking everything, doing all that. Right. But you do have a bivouac site. Yeah. Right. So like your main pack is like, not that heavy during the crucible itself. The hike there fucking sucks because you have your sleeping bag,
right?
Which at the time was the old goose down fucking green ones. And so, and then you had your shelter halves and all that shit. But once you set all that shit up, that stuff stays there.
Oh, okay.
Right. So that's like, nice. That was kind of nice. I mean, you had everything else,
right?
But you know, that was kind of nice. Yeah. Right. So like you go and you do the crucible and you do all that shit day one, fucking okay. It sucks. You're sore. Day two. Okay. Now you're really fucking tired.
Right.
Day three, it's like, oh, what the fuck? And then in the morning, as soon as they wake you up, they form you up and you go on a fucking hump and you end up, that's when you go up the Reaper. And at the time they were doing the Eagle Globe and Anchor ceremony. It's where you would become a Marine, right? You'd go up there and fucking they play, are you proud to be an American? And fucking like, and you know, everybody's crying and shit.
That's just going to be like, we're crying.
I didn't cry.
And you're crying.
I didn't cry. The dude next to me, I thought he was hyperventilating. He was fucking bawling. And I was like, bro, are you good? I was like, what is fire?
Like, I'm fine.
Yeah, dude. I was like, what the fuck?
He didn't think he would make it.
He definitely did not think he would make it. Yeah. None of us did either. Like, we were all kind of surprised he did. He's one of those fat kids that when he runs, his head would naturally do this. You know what I'm talking about?
Bio, yeah.
Yeah. He was one of those. And I was just like, bro, are you dying right now? Like, is it wheezing? And he was like, but he's crying. I was like, oh shit. But no, there was a lot of tears shed, right? And then afterwards, like you get this whole ceremony and like, you know, they fucking hike you back and you're motivated as shit. So the hike back ain't shit.
Yeah.
You know, like you had to change. You had to change on top of the Reaper, right? Because we had brown skivvy shirts on.
Yeah.
And Marines wear green ones.
Yeah.
So we had to change our skivvy shirts and we had to put our fucking name. We had to put our blouses on that had the Eagle Globe and Anchor ironed on them. Because before that, we weren't allowed to wear it until you had it, right? So you had to fucking put your one that had it on there because now you're a Marine. And then you, as soon as you go back, they walk you right into the warrior breakfast and you get like this breakfast and you eat until you fucking vomit because you haven't eaten anything in 3 days. So then you go back and get seconds and then you eat some more and you're like, ugh. Then you go and take the dreaded fucking crucible shit, which is just a brick of shit that comes out of your asshole and makes you cry. So you cry again. For other reasons.
I'm a real Marine.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's like that's how they introduce us to the green weenie. Yeah. This is like, look, you better get used to getting fucked. And here's your first fucking, here you go, man. Like, we're going to get that thing lubed up a little bit and loosened out. Kind of waller out the butthole for you. And then I forgot the main point of the story, but.
I think it was the shit.
Well, yeah. All right. Oh, like the turning blue ceremony, similar, right? Like, so afterwards, like after I went through and all this shit, like the next generation, when they started doing McMap, there was a brief period of time where they give them like their McMap belts on the fucking Reaper instead of their fucking Eagle Globe and Anchor because families were bitching that they didn't get a chance to see them become a Marine. So they started doing the fucking, because at Paris Island, you do it on the parade deck and families can be there when it happens. Yeah. Right. Whereas like, so now they do it at graduation and it's like, that's fucking lame.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that was like our shit, you know, like,
I'm pretty sure that my blue cord, I got it in the Bay Area, like underneath our Bay.
Yeah.
I don't think I had a turning blue ceremony. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they handed out blue cords. But they got so I think they handed out, I'm trying to remember how this worked, because after it, guys were heating up the cross rifles and branding each other with them. because they're fucking boots. They're idiots. Yeah. Imagine if that was like, and then you look back at it now and it's just like, oh, I was such a fucking idiot.
You remember the movie Jarhead?
Yeah.
When they fucking brand each other, when they brand the USMC on their asses and shit. Yep. Yep. That started happening. Thanks a lot to that movie.
Yeah.
That started happening.
No.
I just so be like, and I just look at them. At this point, I'm like sleeved up and I'm just looking at them. I'm like, y'all are fucking retarded. I just be like, what is wrong with y'all, man? Like,
you still have to sit down.
Yeah. I hope you really, I hope that one of you fucking gets
a goddamn infection kicked out.
Dude, they charged them. They charged them with fucking destruction of government property.
Yeah.
They did. Those guys got NJP'd for it. But I hope one of you see this and I'd like to know how that's working out for you. It's like that chick I saw at the fucking, at the concert in 99 that had the Good Charlotte fucking tramp stamp. I've often thought about her over the years, about how she fucking chose her life decisions after that. And I'd like to know about that with y'all too. Thanks. That's what you are to me. You're a chick at a fucking, wasn't even a Good Charlotte show. I guess it was a Limp Bizkit concert. And I saw this chick who had a tramp stamp. That was a Good Charlotte tramp stamp. And all these years later, I still think about her. And I'm just like, I wonder how that worked out. Like, what did you end up like covering it up with? You know, because I know you covered it up. You had to have.
Yeah.
She was hot too. Look good.
Yeah. Mikey's over there going down memory lane.
I am.
Good Charlotte tramp stamps. Getting his dick signed.
Hey, man.
You only live once, right?
I'm reflecting on the life that I've made. built.
I didn't mean to do it during the fucking show, dude.
Oh, my bad. I was just heeding your advice, man. Shit.
Well, on that note.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking. I guess. Dave, what are you up to?
Not a whole lot, man. Prepping, going to head up, see some family this weekend.
You going up to Nebraska?
No, going up to Missouri.
Okay.
Mom lives up in Springfield.
That's right.
So told her I'd try to make it up before the end of the year. So it's rapidly approaching. Figured I better make that happen.
It's true.
It is. Like, I didn't realize that it was fucking like almost mid-December already. I was like, oh, shit.
We're 14 days away from Christmas today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just trying to figure out where the fucking year went. Like.
Yeah. When you figure it out, let me know.
Right.
I'd like to know where it went to.
I still think that time speeds up as you get older. Either that or they're just speeding time up in general.
Yeah.
It has to.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
If time exists, jury's still out on that.
No, that's not a rabbit hole we're about to go down. No, sir. I'm not fucking falling into that. God.
Now, if you're going off Einstein. Yeah.
Well,
gosh, man.
Yeah.
You get to drive to Missouri. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's 10 and a half hours.
It's cold as shit up there this time of year.
It was cold as shit this morning.
Yeah, that's true. It was 33 degrees this morning.
34 when I walked out the door to come to the shop.
When I gave J-Mo a ride at fucking 7 a.m., it was definitely 33.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank God for remote start. That's the best. Fuck. That's the best. That and heated steering wheels.
Oh, my God.
Bruh.
Lifesaver.
Fucking A. Mm-hmm. Fucking A.
Yeah.
And, like, even the kids' seats in the back are heated.
Yeah.
In Haley's van. So, like, I throw on fucking J-Mo's seat warmer for him, and he's just, like, he's snug as a bug. Chilling. Like, he's good. Not that it's a long ride to school. It's only 5 minutes, but still.
I've never cared that much if my kids' asses were warm. You're a good dad.
I'm trying. Trying to make up for all the shitty things I did in life. In the life that I built. Good God. You got new seat warmers in that new hoopty you got, though, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
What year is it?
19.
Nice.
19.
It's fancy.
Yeah.
It's fancy.
It's the newest fucking thing I've ever owned.
Yeah.
It's actually been in my name anyway.
It's nice having something that's newer, that's on the new side, that's reliable.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The best part. Like the truck that I'm driving now is the first new vehicle I ever bought.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fucking everything that's wrong with it, I did. And it's nice to know that I fucked that up, or I did that, or I did this. You know what I mean? Like, instead of like just falling on somebody else's problem.
You didn't do that.
That's true. Actually, the only people who have fucked up my truck have been other people. That's true. And I haven't been involved in every time. Three fucking accidents that thing's been into. I haven't been driving. Not a fucking once. Fucking. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to park there where your boat fucking ramp fucking wasn't close to it. And you still hit it with a boat. Look, what the fuck? God.
Well, let's put a bow on this one.
Yeah. Like, share, subscribe, smash those buttons. Tell your mom.
Tell your friends.
Tell your fucking mom's friends. All them bitches. They need to know there's a mediocre show out there. Check out all of our links in the bio and all that stuff. Check out our sponsors. Another huge shout out and thank you to Hardhead Veteran. Good shit, man.
Yeah.
Just solid quality product, and I'm excited to put it into use.
Yep.
And you'll get some content out of me with that, I'm sure. Yeah. So I will be doing some. I'll be pulling some content for you guys. Yeah, man.
See, now I can go get some night vision.
There you go.
If you hold me up before, I didn't have anything put it on.
See, yeah. Now you do.
Been like $4,000.
I had one of those J mounts, though.
I still have all my old mounts.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
That we never used.
Never once.
Never once. I still have all my old mounts in the military. They'll work on this.
Yeah. I did have one. I fell in on a Kevlar once where somebody had... They like hot glued one of these mounts to the fucking head, to the K-pot. And I was just like, I don't think this is right, man.
Well, that's why you tie it down.
Yeah.
Because it's going to fall off.
Yeah. He like had it hot glued on there. There was like a glob around the motherfucker. It looked like JB Weld or something. It was like, what the fuck?
Two-part epoxy.
Probably what it was.
You're going to want a dummy cord that fucker.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm going to raise my glass, boys. I'm going to say thanks for being my freedom friend. Cheers, cheers. Three little things. They're not hard to do. They're pretty easy, actually. Words to live by if you want to, but it's freedom. It's a freedom based show. Do whatever the fuck you want. Dave, hit him with the first one.
Oh, that's always smoke on.
Your favorite, Scotty.
Drink on.
And goddamn it, kids.
Freedom
the fuck on. Later.